of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
It's time for Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
I'll allow it.
An open and honest discussion about how the law applies to the headlines.
You not only insult me, but you insult the integrity of this court.
The defendant is not guilty.
The defense is wrong.
But somebody in this courtroom is.
I'm being charged with a crime.
A trial by court martial.
Is that what this is? I'm being charged with a crime?
Legally Served with Attorney Franz Borghardt.
Don't tell me what I know and don't know. I know the law.
What's good, Franz? How are you, bro?
Hey, what's good?
What's good?
I love it when our state legislature starts fixing things in the criminal justice system. Because you know what happens when they do that?
What?
I make more money.
Yeah.
And I love money.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. Are you going to have a chance to make more money here? Because if a criminal stays behind bars longer, he's not out and about with a chance to be a recidivist.
I mean,
he can't commit more crime if parole is denied, or if
the stakes are higher, do I charge less money, the same money, or more money?
Stakes are higher. You got to go more money.
I got to go big.
Yeah,
go large.
And I'm here. That's what. Yeah,
we're talking about eliminating the parole system, which is not really what we're going to talk about.
No, but that's the way it's being written about. Which
is that a scare tactic?
Look. Yes. What's actually happening in that building versus how it's being reported.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is the people that are in that building aren't really trying to squash the reporting.
The other thing I want to talk about today, I know we're going to have time to do it, is we're bringing back Riding the Lightning. Electrocution.
Oh, yeah.
Riding the Lightning.
Yeah. No. We'll get. You know what? Can we start with that one? Do you
want
to start with the death penalty?
Sure.
So the state is looking to expand the death penalty to have, kind of a Monty Hall, let's make a deal.
Which do you want to do?
Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three? Lethal injection, nitrogen hypoxia.
Right.
Which.
Who gets to pick? Is it the victim's family? Is it the defendant?
I would think the accused. I would think the guilty party, the one who's going
to. I'm going to have to go sleep on that one. I'm going to have to give me the drug. Let me go to sleep. Maybe convulse a little bit. I'm done.
Oh, man. So. Alabama put someone to death via nitrogen hypoxia over a month ago.
It went fine for 25 minutes.
22. It was 22 minutes, and the report was the guy was convulsing at some point. But the other report was he was already long since gone when the body had involuntary reactions.
I am not a pharmacist. Right. So, okay, let's take a step back. The fact that we are trying to expand our pharmaceutical use of a different substance to put someone to death is not surprising. The problem is pharmaceutical companies don't want to produce something that could make them liable civilly if used in certain ways and methods. So we have this new drug, and the state is basically saying, hey, we're going to give you shielding, and this is a new thing that we can use because we can get it. That's not the surprise. The surprise was the other piece of the legislation, which is bringing back electrocution.
So I was a little bit surprised by that.
Right.
To be sure.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah, as if our grid wasn't taxed enough.
See what you did there.
You're right.
See what you did there. I would need to know, and I haven't looked it up, and I apologize. When's the last time we electrocuted somebody?
The last two were lethal injection, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So it's been more than 20 years. You know what? I haven't looked that one up either, so I'm not going to pretend to know.
So here's the thing. First of all, the United States Supreme Court has never said you can't use lethal. Has never said you can't electrocute somebody.
Right.
That is okay. Now, states can say, hey, we're not down with you electrocuting somebody. State can say that's cruel and unusual punishment, which I know in the context of putting someone to death seems a little bit of an oxymoron. Like, how is it cruel and unusual punishment if ultimately they're going to be dead afterwards?
Well, I've asked the question before, and, you know, I was speaking at a lunch group last week, and I was asked this question. Is if fentanyl kills everybody it touches out there,
why aren't we using fentanyl?
And evidence lockers in every police department around the state are full of fentanyl, why aren't we just using fentanyl?
I don't know.
I had no answer. It was like, I was like, oh, that's a good question because I don't have an answer for you. I mean, so, if it's so craved that everybody wants it and it just puts you down.
So here's the thing. Your sentence is death. Mm-hmm. The sentence is not a grueling mean, harsh death. It's just death.
Right.
And that is where I think we need to pick up when we come back.
That is where we'll pick up when we come back. It is 6:30, time for news. Attorney Franz Borchardt is in for Legally Served next.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dry, windy conditions driving wildfires across the Texas Panhandle into western Oklahoma. Aaron O'Connor is with the Texas A&M Forest Service.
Certainly the entire panhandle is at risk, but that northern area near the Amarillo, Canadian, Tampa area, that seems to be where we're having a lot of wildfire growth at this time.
In suburban Chicago, several tornadoes touched down, including in Hoffman Estates, where Nancy Cramp waited it out with her mother.
The wind, all of a sudden the wind picked up and we heard things hitting the roof. We were hitting the windows. We were downstairs. The sirens were already going off.
Lightning and hail also reported. At least 100,000 protest votes cast in the Michigan primary. People writing uncommitted instead of Joe Biden's name on the Democratic ticket as a way of protesting the U.S. policy in Gaza. A funeral service is planned for Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. It'll be held in suburban Moscow on Friday, 2 weeks after his death in a penal colony. This is ABC News.
Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Mornings with Brian Haldane, rolling right along. We've got Attorney Franz Borchardt all the way up until 6:50. So we're going to run all the way up until 6:50, which you got to scooch for court TV this morning.
There's only so much. You know what? I would give a little bit more TLC to you if we were in HD.
I got news for you, Franz. We are in HD.
There we go.
100.7 HD2. You're going to find Talk 107.3 FM in high definition. All this wonderful conversation and more in high def at 100.7 HD2.
I'm glad because I feel like FM just can't contain me. That being said, where did we leave off?
We left off talking about the death penalty.
So you have a constitutional question of, well, this whole cruel and unusual punishment, which, again, seems counterintuitive. We're putting somebody to death.
Right.
Well, the sentence is death, but it's not cruel death. It's not torturous death. It's death,
right?
Period.
Well, and that was part of the argument against Nicholas Muscarello's HB6. I'm a nerd. I keep track of the bills. HB6.
I just profit off the legislature.
Like a
lobbyist.
Right. But it's Nicholas Muscarello's bill, and one of the arguments against it yesterday, or I should say from Monday that we played back yesterday, was about, like, why don't we have every method of execution out there? Like, why don't we feed people to the lions anymore, bludgeon them with a baseball bat? It was really hyperbolic and over the top. And it really didn't serve anybody's argument. It just played off of emotion.
Right.
No, a lot goes into when you look at the different methods. Oh, they mentioned crucifixion as well.
If you're going to crucify me, I'm going to go like St. Peter.
Oh, I'm going St. Peter.
Yeah, cross style, but I'm not worthy to be like Jesus crucified.
No.
Point is this.
Flip me over. Yeah.
Point is this. The real question is, how badly do you want to put someone to death? Because if you really, sincerely, in your heart of hearts, want to put someone down like a dog, you're not going to get cute about it. Mm-hmm. Because by getting cute about it, that is, feeding someone to the lions or to the gators, that's going to cause massive amounts of litigation. Not that this stuff isn't going to cause new litigation anyway, right? You're going to litigate anyway. The anti-death penalty folks are going to litigate.
Yeah.
But when you start getting to the point of methods of execution that are arguably not quote-unquote humane, you're going to give them fuel. You're going to give them ammunition in their gun. However, a drug that simply puts you to sleep.
Right.
A sleep that you never wake up from.
Right.
It's kind of hard to argue that that's torturous.
Well, and by the way, this is part of Nicholas Muscarello's bill, is not just expanding the death penalty to nitrogen hypoxia and bringing back the electric chair, but also the other part of his bill protects the makers of the drugs, keeps them anonymous, so that they would be available to us again. So if you want to go back to the most humane way so far that we've found to do this,
the most,
I hate saying things in terms of like efficiency, because it gets very, like, I feel all Third Reich-y when I say it like that.
Well, but hold on. Efficiency is kind of the right word. What we're talking about is balancing the court-ordered sentence, determined by a jury of 12,
yeah,
with not being able to punish someone cruelly and unusually.
Yeah.
How better to do that if you're a proponent of the death penalty? I'm not. I'm just going to call it. I'm against it. But
right.
If you are a proponent of it, do you really care, like, that the manner is anything other than resulting in death? Like, if I really just want to put someone to death, I just want to put them to death.
Right. Well, because if you're entertaining any other part of that discussion, you've moved from justice to vengeance.
Right, right, and beyond the scope of the law, right?
Yeah, so, you're getting very Samuel L. Jackson. Yeah, I'm glad he's dead, and I hope he burns in hell.
Right, right.
Sorry, I stole your line.
And by the way, you beat me.
You were going through that. I know you were going through that when I'm sorry. I jumped
great movie,
all over it.
Time to Kill.
Yep.
But here's the thing. You can't really legislate burning in hell.
Right.
Except no, they like execution.
Well. Smell bacon.
Bacon. I hear that the electrocution is a very smelly process.
Is it?
I hear that it's not. Well, again, I also hear that when you die, you release. I know this is morning radio.
Yeah, but, a lot of people are having breakfast right now.
I bet they are. So, yeah.
Okay, so in real terms, let's move this from the Capitol to the courtroom, okay?
Okay.
The number of fights that are going to come out of something like a nitrogen hypoxia when there's so small of a sample size to judge off of, if we were to go that route, and someone were to be, you know.
Look, we're not Alabama. You know, Alabama, where embryos are humans, and apparently we use what? That is
no,
Alabama.
Because, no, because you're going to get me in trouble for what I say next.
Right. So the thing is, there will be litigation regardless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even with the best of drugs that does the job in a, again, I'm using this oversimplified, unscientific, puts you to sleep and you never wake up.
Right.
That is still going to get litigated. And right. To some degree, okay.
Well, yeah, but there's like standard litigation and hyper litigation.
We're not
right?
Texas, you're, right?
Well, no, what I'm saying is like the fight against it to try something new is going to be even greater somehow.
One of our listeners goes, think about what you could charge if you had 1,000 acres fenced in and you got to hunt the person that has been sentenced to death. The most dangerous game.
The most dangerous game. We all read that short story in school,
well,
right?
Wasn't there a movie with Mario Van Peebles where they hunted people? I mean, this is kind of a fantasy for some people
was
who
that,
hunt.
Was that Trespass?
I don't know. Point is,
Ice-T was
I'm
in it?
I'm pretty sure. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Mario Van Peebles. It was Ice-T. Pretty sure hunting a human
Renegade?
Being. Yeah, I don't know. Hunting a human being, probably going to be cruel and unusual punishment. Now, Brian brought up the question in the first segment. What if you just double tap somebody?
Right.
That's going to be instantaneous,
okay.
Right?
No, we're getting back to the part that makes me feel icky, and that is when you talk about the efficiency of it.
Right.
And a 9mm behind the ear feels like it would be very much more efficient than, you know.
Right.
Than
I shot Marvin.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's done. Apparently not. So, this is going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Our governor will likely sign it.
Yes.
I mean.
You can almost guarantee. Well, he said he's going to sign it. You guarantee that.
Say what you will about Governor Landry. He ain't. There's no foreplay on this one.
No, no.
Ain't wasting no time.
Well, and this, so that's stepping away from the legal end to the political end. He's not messing around.
No, I agree.
Yeah, everything that he ran on, and he didn't run on the death penalty, and I've brought, he didn't run on the death penalty, but now that it's in play, if it's something that he can, you know.
So we got 5 minutes left. The other one I want to talk about, and if I can't finish talking about this one, I'll come in later.
Constitutional carry?
Constitutional carry.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, is that weird. Like, I'm divided on this one. We are about to pass legislation, and this governor will sign it, that you're not going to need a concealed carry permit to carry conceal.
Right.
I have a concealed carry permit.
Right.
I'm not renewing. You know why I'm not renewing? Because we're about to have legislation that's going to save me a little bit of money. Now,
hey, let me ask you another question, though. How often do you go to the range to train?
I go to the range regularly.
Yeah.
And training is a weird word. Do I go to practice?
No. So it's 9 hours worth time in order to be certified. But do you stay at the range until you're certified, or do you stay at the range until you're proficient?
I believe it's a muscle memory thing for me.
Yeah.
And so I practice because I know that if I don't practice, mm-hmm. I will be less less able to use the firearm. Now, this being said, I do think there's legislation in play that if you get this, if you still get the permit, you'll have certain liability shielding, which does give me pause because if I'm the sort of person that wants to conceal carry for self-defense, I may also be the kind of person that's going to use the firearm for self-defense, and I may want to be the person that has certain liability shielding if I use the firearm for self-defense.
Right. So I think what that is, you're talking about SB1 and SB2. SB1 is by Blake Migas, and so is SB2. SB2 basically says if someone's about to, you know, let's say shoot up a shopping mall,
right,
and you pull out your gun and take them down, but a second shot from your gun destroys the front display at Victoria's Secret, Victoria's Secret can't come back and sue you for the damages.
Right.
Because you were serving another purpose there.
Right. You're serving a purpose, all right.
Yeah.
So this is going to pass. What's interesting about this from a legal standpoint is I don't know that law enforcement is entirely on board with this one.
No, no, they traditionally they haven't been.
Right.
But they've been quieter this time around, except for New Orleans.
It's going to get passed. It's going to get passed. What's going to happen is the law of unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Whose lives are going to be in danger most because of this new law? Probably law enforcement.
I don't. So my problem with that is what has been in reality thus far, and that is 27 other states already have constitutional carry. We're not breaking new ground here. Why is it good for them and not good for us?
So the only thing to remember as a citizen is if you're going to go that route, you don't get reciprocity in a non-constitutional carry state.
Right.
Versus if you have it now, you may get reciprocity in those states.
Right.
And by that, I specifically mean if you cross a state line into a state that gives reciprocity and you have a concealed carry permit, you can conceal carry in that.
Right. Only thing is, though, if you're crossing a state line, you don't have to worry about reciprocity. Because if you cross the state line into Texas, you're good to go. Cross the state line into Arkansas, you're good to go.
Alabama, you're good baby. To go.
Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Missouri, Kansas. You driving much further than that? Because you're not taking your
Why would
on the
you
plane,
ever
right?
need to drive further
That's
than
what
that?
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Everybody around it. Look at the map here. The yellow.
Brian, for those who can't see, Brian has a map. It's color-coded.
Yes, who has constitutional carry and who doesn't. And, yeah, I know we're on the radio, so this is solely for Franz. But we're on an island down here in our little yellow.
I don't feel safe just looking at this map.
Well, there you go. You should.
I mean, I want to move to Alabama.
Yeah.
That's a safe place. Right. We know how to execute. I got to roll.
You only want to move to Alabama because you know that my cousin Vinny can win a death penalty case there. He's attorney Franz Borghardt. Got to get out of here. We always appreciate the time, brother.